Real estate is about marketing. You don't market, that's like the engine of the car. You don't get leads, and leads don't turn into deals because you don't have leads.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Welcome to Real Grit. I got Kevin Lee here with me. He's out of Sacramento, California. Let me tell you a little about his background. He's got a PhD in computer science. Now, he went into a W-2 job. He was there for 7 years. While he was doing that, it was virtual wholesaling. And he had success after success. As a result, he found his passion, which was real estate. He left that, continued wholesaling. And then what he'd do is see these flippers that he'd wholesale stuff to. He'd see their big checks that they'd cash. So he started flipping. And then as a result of doing that, he stumbled into short-term rentals. And now he's got a monster portfolio of short-term rental properties in California, about the only way you can make anything cash flow out there. So I'm excited to talk to him. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, very good. Thank you so much, Neil, for inviting me over to your podcast. I know that we have kind of like talked about it for like a while now, and we finally had the time to get together. It's really good to see you again.
Yes, I know. It's been way too long since you and I connected in person.
I miss you very much.
I appreciate that. One thing I know about you, you're a very smart and then diligent person. You think things through and you've got a strategy. Where did that come from? What was the genesis of that in your life?
I guess it's just the way that I was raised. I grew up in a family of just hardworking people, just imparted that work ethics into me. So my mom, she's just a workaholic. My dad as well. So I think that I get that from my parents. My dad, he's very much into like reading. He reads a lot of books, all kinds of history books. So I got that from him too. Like I read a lot too. And there's a lot of people say that, hey, school is not enough, right, for you to learn everything. You need to constantly refresh yourself. That's the reason why a typical CEO is making 200 or 300 times more than a typical employee, because you know they read a lot. That always like kind of like just stuck in me. I make sure that I read, you know, whether it's business book, personal development books, fiction and so forth. I read so that I can keep my mind fresh, stimulated, and always stay on top or on the cutting edge of things.
You took it one step further. It goes past hard work. It is about smart work, and you've got that. What had you go and get a PhD in computer science? Or what was going on that interested you to go that far with it?
My dad, he's got economics and he always wanted to get a PhD because of circumstances in his environment. He couldn't do it. So he always told me, hey, son, you got to get a PhD. You got to follow my footsteps. You got to fulfill the dream that I wasn't able to achieve.
Yeah.
So that was like pressed upon me.
Are you the oldest son?
Yeah.
I got that.
You have parents that like they have something that they have not achieved in their lifetime, and they want to pass it on to their kids.
Yes.
So I kind of just did that for my dad. I also have passion for computers. I like programming. It's almost like writing a poem, if you will. I like the challenge of it. You know, once you finish a program and it solves a very complex problem, you get that gratification. It's almost like flipping houses too. Like you see the before and after.
Yeah.
More mind that's involved in solving a computer problem than just like, you know, flipping a house. But you get that kind of gratification as well.
What was the very first property that you were involved with in real estate?
I guess the first one was 10-unit apartment building. Back when I was in graduate school, I wanted to get some cash flow and I want to learn how to do this. So I took a class over there, business school, a real estate class over there. And I met the professor who happened to be the commercial broker. He found me a 10-unit apartment down in Englewood, California, which is where LAX is. So I bought that building. I borrowed some money from my parents. I said, hey, this is a good deal. Let's do it. They trusted me. To this day, I still don't know why, but to a 29-year-old, I bought that building. I guess the rest was history because I also caught a bug. It's like, wow. I mean, leverage, right? Use other people's money to buy an asset, and you can actually print money that way. Because after, you know, you pay the mortgage and whatever that's left behind or the top is really yours to keep. And then there's that equity that's built up as well over time. So every 5 years, we had to do a refi because it's a commercial loan. I get a $150,000 in my pocket, in addition to the monthly cash flow. So it's a beautiful thing.
So you get the PhD, you're going, you got a W-2 job. And then at some point you're like, let me do what I can to stay involved in real estate. And it sounded like that was wholesaling for you.
A lot of people talk about wholesaling, right? That's like kind of like the way for you to really get into real estate, right? Without too much capital or risk involved, right? Because if you buy a property, if you have no experience, you got to pay hefty down payment, right? Anywhere from 10 to 20%. If you're buying a distressed home, right? You got to like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 of money set aside to add value to the property. So for somebody who's got no track record, where are you going to get that money? It's already hard to ask that money from your family, let alone people that you don't know, right?
Right.
I think that it's a good entry point into real estate is you understand how to get a property on the contract and how to find like cash buyers and then how to talk to people really. That's kind of like what I learned, how to negotiate a transaction, how to talk to title, closing attorneys and stuff like that. I think that's a good skill set that you pick up as a wholesaler, and then you can transition into becoming a real investor just by kind of like learning it from flippers and so forth. And that's another business. But you know, a lot of people say, hey, real estate is about marketing. And I believe it 100%. That's
sure.
If you don't market, that's kind of like the engine of the car. You don't get leads, and leads don't turn into deals because you don't have leads, right?
Yeah, I know you're exactly right. All right. So you're wholesaling and at some point it was going so well and or the W-2 wasn't going so well. You were at an impasse, had to make a decision, and you decided to go all in on real estate. What year was that?
That was back in 2017. I wouldn't say that the W-2 job wasn't going well. You know, it was a big fat check and I was able to fulfill my duties as a software engineer. I just didn't find the fulfillment that I used to get.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When I took on the job in the very beginning, it was all excitement. I was learning so much.
Right.
But I was hired for this particular position. As much as I want to grow and as much as the HR is trying to help me, right, to grow, there's just very limited opportunities for me to really just take it to the next step. Yeah. And everybody is really just vying for that next level position as right. well. Who are they going to pick? In a corporate world, you're just like one of the many, if you will. So you're a number. I think that, you know, I made the best decision, one of the best decisions in my life to quit that. I'm happier. I excel so much further. My income is way more than before. I get to be my own boss. Telling people what to do, I can really just outsource and leverage other people's talent. And a lot of times it's like we become the blockage. So we have to empower people and bring them forward so that they can do the things that you think you can do better than them.
You create your own destiny that way. You're empowered. Yeah. I'm going to pivot because I got a different question. Now I'm going to go off real estate here for a second. What was the conversation like with your parents? Your father who wanted you to be a PhD to go down this entire path. What was that conversation like when you're like quitting my job?
That was like kind of like I'm an older adult, near my 30s.
Yeah.
And he's growing old. He didn't have the path. He didn't know what the world that's, you know, beyond PhD. There's so much that your parents can give you. And then at a certain point, you're really on your own, right? Your own destiny. And there's just so much they can control, if you will, right? You're a grown man, you make you fully responsible for all your actions, decisions. So it became a very easy conversation for me to have with my dad, even though like he was, why would you ever like give that away? Like a $200,000, six-figure salary, stable job, right? You could have like worked there for the rest of your life and maybe more. You spend like, 10 years in school to get that PhD. Why would you forsake that? That's completely different. I'm like, I don't want to like spend the next 30 years to be unhappy. I want to be a happy individual. What does Neil want? We have to follow our passion, really. You know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I asked that question because I think it's something a lot of people experience. You know, the challenge is what do other people think of them? But specifically, what do their parents think of them? How does that feel? What's that conversation like? And I think for some folks, it can hold them back, what their parents want for them and what kind of box they define mentally for themselves. And so that's why I wanted to to go down that path and ask that question.
If I had kids, how many do you have, by the way?
Three.
You're very blessed. I would just tell them to follow their passion. I will be so fully supportive of the decisions that they make in their life. I'm going to tell them about my life experiences. Hey, this is what I did. You know, this is how where I got burned. You know, look out for these, you know, mistakes that could happen to you.
Right.
But I wouldn't really control them like, hey, this is the path that you had to go because I didn't do it. And you had to fulfill that for me.
Yeah.
I think that would be so selfish. But I think that I would really emphasize the importance of education for sure.
Couldn't agree with more there. And originally, that's how you and I connected, is through education, through us being involved in multiple things that improving ourselves and then ultimately our businesses as a result, right? All right, so bring me forward. You're wholesaling. You're like, I'm selling deals to guys who are cashing crazy checks by flipping these things. And so I want to get in that game. What was that transition like from wholesaler to fix and flipper?
It was a terror barrier for me. It was scary as hell because that means that there's money responsibility.
Yeah.
There is a lot more that comes with it as well. You need to manage contractors. You need to manage the whole entire job. That's a bit challenging. Thankfully, I had a business partner back then. We partnered on that deal. You know, he flipped, I think, two or three houses before me. So he's got that experience.
Yeah.
On his belt already. So I was able to just leverage his experience and use the crew that he had to help me get this started. And the rest was history. We were able to just like build a good track record. You know, after you do two or three, asking people for money is just really, really easy from that point onward. Yep.
Then you stumbled in at some point to short-term rentals. What was that like? How did you stumble into that?
This business is all like a very transaction-based business, right? It's buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell. At the very beginning, when I started this, I've always had this idea, right, of growing a passive income. I don't want to be in the business. I want this business to run it without too much of my involvement.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, how do I really just do get some passive income that way? Yeah, flipping houses is good, right? Big fat check at the end.
Yep.
But
you have one check.
Yeah, one check. And you have to always hunt for deals, right? But you don't get all the benefits of owning a rental per se. You don't get the depreciation, the short-term capital gain tax, which is actually really high. And you don't get the equity buildup. Right. You don't get cash flow. So I thought to myself, why don't we just try this thing called short-term rental? We actually became the data for AirDNA in our market because we're the first to start. And then a lot of people saw the success that we had by using AirDNA to see that there's actually a demand for short-term rental here in our market.
Yeah.
We started seeing a lot more people that's coming into the space. Until like recently, right? There's so many people talking about it and catching like wildfire across the country. Like everybody you talk to, like
everybody,
investors, they want to do like at least one short-term rental.
Hey, that's how investors are. They're like, hey, I just got to get a piece of the action, right? I just got to get one in my portfolio. I'm doing eight other things. I got to get one of these, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So what was the going and entering to short-term rentals? What was part of the challenges in understanding that business? What did you do right and what did you do wrong for the first couple of them?
This business is hospitality business, right? Mm-hmm. So your customers, your guests, the number one. Just like you go into a hotel and the beds are not met and there's like hair on the toilet, right? You would just, hey, call the front desk and say, hey, I want to move into a different room.
Yeah, I'm moving.
So cleaning is so key to this business. And you want to make sure that you have that conversation with the cleaners. Make sure that you have protocol in place.
Yep.
You know, when they clean, they take a picture of the unit. Everything is, you can have a VA to, you know, just look at the video and then make sure that the cleaner is doing a good job. And then as you do it over time, you know what to put in place into your standard operating procedure. You know, where, how do you put the furniture back? This is where the furniture should be. We started to just kind of like give them a chocolate, put chocolate in the dining table. This is just as a way of just welcoming them. I know hosts, they go as far as, you know, writing a personalized, you know, card, you know, Neil, thank you so much for coming to stay with us. We hope that you will enjoy your stay here with us for the next number of days.
Yep.
right? If you need anything, please give me a holler. And a personalized message goes a long way. That's kind of like the things that we picked up. It's so different from like flipping, which is not very personal per se. You're interacting with just inanimate objects. And when it's time for you to sell, you know, I have a listing agent. I don't even contact, I don't even like talk to clients or buyers per se.
Yep.
Right. They do the negotiation and it's done. But in this business, way different. You have to make your clients happy.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Never been on the show who's brought everything. It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. Tell me on the cleaning side, you've got an SOP. Do you have a checklist in place for the cleaner then?
Yeah. We do. We do have a checklist. We give checklists to the cleaners and then they would just go down the list, you know, check out all the things that they're supposed to do after they clean the properties.
The furniture in place, what do you have? Pictures? And then you provide that to the cleaner to make sure it's arranged correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
I love this.
You would do it for the first time and you would just get all the pictures, all the possible pictures. And then if you don't catch anything, right, everything, you can always do it the second time. It's an iteration. The SOP is always evolving.
Yes, correct. Did you create that from scratch or did you plug into some training that helped you with that?
Yeah, so we have something that we got from like, you know, these different conferences that we go to as a template, if you will. Yep. But it differs from business to business. So you kind of have to revise it, you know, customize it to your own business.
So you started at one and now what are you up to right now?
35.
35 short-term rentals.
Yeah, I think we just picked up six in the last quarter.
What's your staff and the team look like to support the short-term rental business?
That's kind of like growing as well. I have one virtual assistant, actually two. They work on different shifts. They basically make sure that they're staying on top of the communication with guests, right? Hey, before the check-in, you know, what do you need to... We have a virtual guide too. We send them a link to the virtual guide. It's got all the information that they need, you know, how to check into the property, where is the property located, where do you park, how do you access the washer and dryer, right? And this is a number you need to call us if you need anything else, right? Need a can opener, need a can, one opener, you know, call us, be able to send that over to you, that kind of thing. And then we have, I think, 10 cleaners on payroll and my VA is coordinating with the cleaners. Yep. So we have the schedule that's made out for the very next day. So they know where to go, you know, property by property.
Are those cleaners on staff for you only?
Yeah.
Or the full time for you?
They're independent contractors. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do they clean for other people is my question.
I say you guys are welcome to work for other people. I will even refer because I want them to maximize their revenue, right? Income. There's like, I don't know, 3-4 hours of a gap, right? Today is like really light. And then I have possibly other landlords. It's called co-hosting, by the way. You can actually manage other people's properties for them at some point, right? So you can actually just tell them to go to these properties and clean. And then you can money that way.
Your VAs, you have separate shifts. You got a first and second shift then?
Yeah. So one is night shift. Yep. One is a day shift.
Well, it's incredible. What do you, looking forward, what's the goal for you guys? You're still fixing and flipping today, right?
Yeah.
You're fixing and flipping. That generates big checks. And then you deploy that cash into the short-term rental business.
Exactly. So the goal is always acquire or to, you know, build out that massive like a portfolio of rentals, right? And then the passive income that way, you get all the write-off from that department. I don't think that's ever going to go away. I thought about really just possibly managing other people's properties for them. There's a one route to go down.
On the short-term rental basis.
Yeah. Yep. Or just to exit by selling all the big portfolio to maybe an institutional, you know, Wall Street private equity investor. That's another route. I know that there's somebody that's in the mastermind that did that and exited. He owned like a big property management company with lots of rentals. I think he sold like 50 or something like a couple of years ago. You know Todd?
I do.
So I think he did that. Yeah, in Alabama.
Yeah, there's certainly a demand for it. And this world, even as long as short-term rentals have been around, which feels like a while now, the business and the management thereof is still evolving. And yeah, Wall Street's participation certainly is evolving.
I think if we can make it a sellable business,
yep,
we have a system in place for another operator to come in and to take over, it becomes a sellable business. I think the ROI, I mean, is high enough, yeah, for somebody, you know, over there at Wall Street to really just look at us carefully.
It's fair to say you're not just in the real estate business in a short-term rental. You are in the hospitality business. Well, you get that piece wrong, you've screwed it all up.
There's so many things of making money with real estate, right? You, yep, can have any kind of business on top of real estate. And then that's a separate business in and by itself. Whether it's care facility, which I also have, right? Senior care facilities.
Oh, yeah.
There's hospitality business, whether it's selling McDonald's burgers, they're separate, but you're still collecting that rent.
Correct.
As the landlord, but the business itself is also making money. So you're making money on both
yep,
ends,
yep,
and benefiting each other.
How do you finance the short-term rentals?
There's like actually lenders out there that you can use to refi. We have a bridge loan, right? That's like up to 1 year. Refi ourselves out of the 1 year, you know, yep, once we stabilize the property. You know, there's actually two or three that have favorable terms. And I think that there's a lot more
there
that lenders that's entering into this.
That space is evolving because the numbers on the short-term rental side don't look like the numbers on a traditional rental side.
Exactly. And I think the lenders, you know, they're become smarter. They need to have a product for something that's missing in the marketplace.
Sure.
And a lot more people, especially the coastal states.
Correct. You
know, they started doing a short-term rental because that's the only way they can cash flow.
Correct.
So why don't we roll out a product,
right,
to service these borrowers?
There's a demand for it. Now you got to create a supply.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Talk to me about the senior living facilities.
Assisted living, so yeah. I have 545 beds. I started that when Speaker Jim Guarino, he passed away. So he spoke about residential assisted living. It's another kind of like way of making money with real estate. Yeah. You buy a residential home and then you would put seniors in your homes to hire a caregiver, take care of them. You know, these are people that are able to ambulatory, but you know, they just cannot live by themselves. There's a tendency for them to fall. They don't have their kids to watch over them, usually live by themselves.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily want to be in one of those enormous facilities with 200 or 300 other people. Yeah,
facility, you know, yeah, where the caregiver to the resident ratio is actually really, really low. You right, have one caregiver taking care of like hundreds of, you know, residents. Yeah. So in this small home setting, we call it a home-like, right?
Yep.
You get that care, you know, kind of like one-on-one care. And there's also that interaction that you don't really get in your home,
right?
Because you're just living by yourself or from the big box facility. We're kind of like, if you will, you know, we get the best part of two worlds.
Yep.
With that intimacy, we also get that care.
The demand for that has to be crazy.
Especially like nowadays, because we got a big population of baby boomers. Huge. So they call it the silver tsunami. Yeah. So it's coming. And I think we're actually the beneficiary of that big population there. You think about the journey, right, of any human being. You know, where we start from being young, like a kid, yep, being old, right? Need to have somebody that taken care of,
right?
Care for. So definitely need that. They call it like a recession-proof business.
Sure. No, so
everywhere too. People say, oh, I want to retire in Florida. Not everybody wants to go to Florida.
No.
Yes, it's a sunny state, right? Sunshine state, but a lot of families, you know,
their family isn't there. As much as they want the sunshine, they'd rather have their family and they don't leave. You're right about that. So looking forward down, you know, in the next year or two down the path, what's it look like for you in fix and flip, the short-term rental business and the senior living facilities?
So we're continuing to grow, but you know, my vision is to establish other verticals, other multiple, you know, revenue income streams, if you will, right? So this is a business that I don't really have to be like on it 24/7. Business that can run by itself, which is really, really good. So I'm looking at other opportunities where I can get myself into and then grow it that way.
That's terrific.
I think that's basically how an entrepreneur thinks,
yes,
too,
yeah,
right? Like we're always looking, you know, for that shining object. What is the next, you know, big thing, if you will? if we have success with one department,
yes,
can we move that success over to other verticals?
So what's the path of least resistance to make the most money? What does that avenue look like? And it sounds like you've hit it out of the ballpark with the short-term rentals, being practically the first to market in your backyard to the point where you became the first data source, data point for them to build that in the market.
I guess you got that early adopter or the first entrant advantage. Yeah, so we're always looking.
That's great. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call 4-4 impact.
4-4 impact.
Your favorite quote is what?
I think I'll just quote from Warren Buffett that be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful.
What about that resonates most with you?
So you mentioned this too, right? Like in this particular market, right? We have so many people that are so freaking fearful, right? I don't know about, you know, the stock market just happened recently.
I mean, we're recording this. The stock market dropped over 1,000 points yesterday.
Crazy.
From the day we record this, right? Yeah.
So I had a friend, he's got so down yesterday. He said, oh my God, my 401k is going down to nothing. That really impacted his mood, right?
Correct.
Do you want to be the crowd that are so freaking fearful and not buying any more deals, right? And you want to sit on the sideline? Or do you think that this is an opportunity for you to go in and then really make some money there, right? In good times, there's so much money to be made, right? But that's probably the time you need to be like fearful.
Money's made in good times. Generational wealth is built in bad times.
Exactly.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it's just being comfortable. The thing is, like, we can get eliminated as well, right? There's going to be another new kid who has got more hunger than you do, right?
Yeah.
If you're comfortable, you get eliminated. You're not in the scene anymore. Maybe that's what they want to be too, because at some stage in life, you just don't want too much stress. Okay with that.
Yep.
I think you need to have a balance there, right? Everything in moderation, if you will. You're always like grinding and being busy, right? You can forget about a lot of other things,
correct,
right? The main thing here, like we're doing this just so that we can buy time. We can create moments, right? With the people that we love. So I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs, right? They did it. They thought that they're for their family, you know, for their own freedom, right? They forgot about that. And it's too late because, you know, their health is like, you know, shot, and then they're, you know, on the hospital bed, and they missed out on the very thing that they started this entrepreneur journey for.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Oh, I love working out. Yeah. I go to the gym like twice a day.
Do you really? You're very fit.
Very active.
I'm very cozy.
Yeah, I just like to, you know, be in tune with nature. I do meditation, transcendental meditation. I do that twice a day.
Yeah.
I'm very kind of like spiritual.
You eat super well too.
I do. I try to take care of this body, right? Yeah. Because if you don't have this healthy body, you can't take care of anything else.
Nothing else.
Nothing else, right?
What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
So I started a monthly meetup, and we've been doing it for like since last July. I have people that reach out to me and say, Kevin, why don't you start like a meetup? This is after COVID. There's no like networking event for real estate investors. I don't know why the things that were taking place before, they haven't come back either.
I know. There's a bunch of this.
So I think there's a need, right? And then they say, hey, Kevin, you're a very good educator. You know, you can really teach people about real estate. So I hesitated a bit because it's a lot of time to speak, to, you know, put up an event like this. You know, you need to like broadcast it. You want to make sure that people show up, and you need to take care of their need, right? By bringing like water, bottles of water, right? You want to make sure that they feel comfortable. They get some out of it. That's the whole point. So you want to keep it interesting. So the way that we do it is I will invite different speakers to come and speak on different topics of real estate. Short-term rental being one. We even have someone that speak on Turo.
Oh, yeah.
Mining on, you know, just cars. And a motivational speaker too. People who's made it in the real estate, you know, flipping like thousands of homes.
Yeah.
They come and speak about mindset. That I think is important. And lenders, they will come and then they would just tell us, you know, break down the numbers. Lenders that I would, you know, borrow money for to fund projects, right? And we would have these meetings be held in our projects. every month is different in different locations. So they get that immersion education there. That way they get to see, feel, touch a flip looks like.
Yep.
That's a way for me to pay forward. And I even told people, hey, this is the best place for you to network with people to leverage, especially when you're a novice. And that's how I found my business partner back then. That's how I started my first flip. Because if it's not for one of these meetings, right, that I went to, I probably would not have a difficult time. And real estate, it's all about who you know. It's not what you know. It's who you know. It really get you there. And if you can really bring those people into your fold, you're leaps and bound away from being successful or being, you know, doing your first deal.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, Kevin, I really appreciate you taking the time to connect up and be on. You've got an amazing story about, education really being the backbone of your very early career and then how that's catapulted you forward. And that was a deep seed in your whole life and how you've run with that and continue to do so in the real estate world. Now you've applied it to really very different segments of the real estate market from a short-term rental standpoint, from assisted living facility and still flipping homes. And cashing checks there. It's tremendous. I appreciate you taking the time to connect here.
Thank you so much. Hey, one more thing I want to say to the listeners. This is what the problems that I have and I still have. And then I need to tell myself to really not to look at the success of others that have gone before us. Because eventually, right, if you're consistent, if you're persistent and diligent enough, you will get there. Everybody has their own path too, right? You can look at Elon Musk and say, wow, this guy is super successful, right? But you can't compare yourself to somebody like that, right? Everybody correct. Has their own. I think you're your own competition.
That's right.
That's kind of like your benchmark. If you can grow more than what you were a year ago, I call that a success. So don't look at other people's success and get discouraged and disappointing yourself. No, don't look at that way. Hey, I have 35 rentals. Oh, wow, Kevin is so much more ahead. How am I going to get there? No, if you can get one, two, three, four, just work at your own pace, right? And eventually people will look at you and say, oh yeah, this person is super successful. I want to be that person. Be yourself. That's the best way of looking
That's
at it.
Sound advice.
I think this is the whole point of this podcast too, right? Is really to just give people patterns, right? Hey, success is really possible. And there's so many people that have done it and you can do it too. We can provide some guidance there, pointers, so that can open up your mind. But it's up to you. Just maybe take this little nugget and implement it. Short-term rental happens to work in my market. Perhaps it works for you as well, or maybe it doesn't. Long-term rental is the way to go, and you don't want to manage people, you know, the headache that guests may have, right? So you can do that route too. But I think Neil is laying the tracks, you know, just giving all possible tools that you can have in your tool belt so you can deploy them whenever you see a fit.
Kevin, for people who want to find you, they want to follow you, where can they go? How can they connect with you?
You can follow me on Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram. DM me there. My Instagram handle is Insightful Kevin Lee.
Insightful Kevin Lee. We'll make sure we get the link below for everybody in the show notes. Kevin, I appreciate the time, man. It's good to see you.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet, buddy. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology And times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge, how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off market 20X profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20X profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving the passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com. And I'll see you in the challenge.